see what my unique item is in my box?
Who's going to have a look? Who's going to be brave enough to have a look inside my box and see a unique item? Jacob, there's one condition. You get to look in my box, but you've got to keep it a secret. Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right. So if I open the box, do you promise you're going to keep this a secret? You sure? You sure you're sure? You sure you're sure you're sure? All right. I'm trusting you on this one, Jacob. This is a really unique, really special thing. This thing inside my box is so amazing, so wonderful, so special. It is absolutely going to blow your little socks off. Are you ready to see what my unique item is? Remember, you're keeping this to yourself, Jacob. Ready? One, two, three. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That's amazing, isn't it? Right.
Some more here.
Some more here. Rebecca. No, Peyton, you're going to go first. Right, same promise as we had to Jacob. You get one look in the box, you get to see my amazing special item, and you've got to keep it to yourself. Can I trust you? Yeah? You're not going to tell anyone what you see. Please don't. Because this, again, this is so amazing. This is so special. This is so wonderful. And inside here is something really unique. Are you ready, Peyton, to have a look at my unique item? Wow! Whoa. Right, surely this must have got some people's curiosity. Flowy. Rebecca, come on. You don't have to tell anyone what it is, but you will need to turn round. Okay. Ready? You're going to keep this to yourself, aren't you? A unique item. Nobody has ever seen the likes of this before, and I've got it in my box today. This is fantastic. Look at that. Wowzers! Okay. Surely, surely, surely. Something completely different. Each of you is going to see something that nobody else can see. And it just reminds us that we are all so unique. We're so amazing. We're so special. Becky is now going to come and she's going to unpack that as she preaches to us this morning. Do you want to come up here? So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us in the Bible. Thank you that each of us is wonderfully recognized by you. Thank you, Lord, that we are so special to each other. We just pray for your blessing on Becky as she speaks to us this morning. Pray, Lord, that you will fill and guide her with your Holy Spirit as we learn what it is to be recognized by you and see you at work in each other. Bless her, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You've now seen Jay, how he does school assemblies. That's why the children at St. Chad's love his assemblies so much. So, in today's reading, there was one word that was used six times. It was such a short reading, wasn't it? It was just two verses. Can anyone remember the word that was used six times? It begins with W, ends in E. Somebody just said, was it you, Wendy? Welcome. Yeah, so two short verses, and that word welcome is used six times. Other versions use the word receive, and potentially that is a closer understanding of the original Greek, to receive or to welcome, if we can kind of think of that phrase. But I love the Message translation. The Message is just a paraphrase of the Bible, we know that, and it's it just sometimes really helps us to understand Bible verses a little bit better. I have got it written out here. I wondered, I know Rebecca, you were going to come and help me. Are there any other children who are good readers? Otherwise, I could have some grown-ups. I need five people. So if you stand on the edge there, Rebecca. Jacob, you come next with number two. You stand next to Rebecca. Peyton, number three. Could I have two adults? Oh, turn around. It's reading a sentence. Is Mummy and Sophia going to come and do it? Jay, would you do the last one for us? Thank you. So let's read from the Message translation together. If you wouldn't mind putting it up on the screen as well. Okay, Rebecca, do you want to go? Oh, hang on. Let's get you a microphone so everyone can hear you. Okay, I'll hold it. You read. We'll get there. Go on then. Should we do it together? We are intimately linked in this harvest work. You can carry on.
Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you.
Fantastic.
Anyone who's at stake, what to do? Except my father, who sent me escaping.
Accepting the messenger.
Accepting the messenger, messenger Luke, as
God,
as being God's messenger.
Fantastic, Jacob. Thank you. Peyton? Accepting someone's help.
Accepting someone's help is...
as good as giving.
As good as giving someone's help.
This is a large work. I called you into but don't be overwhelmed by it. Fantastic.
It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance.
The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't be there.
Brilliant. Thank you, everybody. You can sit down now. That's a great help. So we are intimately linked in this harvest work. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you. Anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Father, who sent me. Accepting a messenger from God is as good as being God's messenger. Accepting someone's help is as good as giving someone help. This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed with it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing. So this passage comes right at the end of Matthew 10, which we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks, which was all about sending out the disciples. And 2 weeks ago, when I was in here with the young people, we were thinking about Jesus sending out the disciples. And if you remember, we talked about, because I'm sure you were talking in here about the same thing, we talked about those disciples going out without any resources, without anything, with no money, with no food, and how scary that must have been. Yet, Also, the fact that they had been hanging out with Jesus for a good while, they'd been living the dream, they'd been having like these amazing experiences, seeing Jesus heal people, do miracles, all this kind of stuff. It would have been like an atmosphere filled with faith, like maybe a big Christian convention, you know, when there's loads of Christians praising all together. There would have been that spirit of that one. And then, all of a sudden, they're sent out on their own. Imagine how lonely that must be. And these two verses, although they're a little bit wordy, they're in great encouragement to those disciples then, but also to us now, who are also disciples all these years later. So I've just picked out three reasons why I feel that these verses are great encouragement. Firstly, they show that we are recognized. Could you scroll right back to the beginning, please, guys? Number one, recognized by God. They're way ahead of me. So they show that we're recognized by God. After that one, yeah, brilliant. Recognized by God. So that first verse there in the message says we are intimately linked in this harvest work. Intimately linked. Now, if I was to ask, let's think, somebody here who's quite short. Sophia, you see these sweets that are up here? Can you reach them? Could you reach them by yourself, do you think? They're quite high, aren't they? Can you see them up there? Could you see those sweets? Go like this, see if you can reach them. They're too high, aren't they? What about if Mummy helped you? What about if we use this chair if needed, Mummy? Oh, we're testing her today, aren't we? Health and safety. Close your eyes, Dave. Mummy. Can we reach them? Yes! They've done it. Get down very carefully, please, guys. Well done. Together, they could do it. Yeah, so Rachel and her daughter Sophia are intimately linked. They're mother and daughter. They're working together to get the sweets. You can share those with your brother if you want, Sophia, and maybe Peyton. And that's just like us with Jesus. We're intimately linked. Jesus wants to work with us. He recognizes us. Now, every week, Mim and I go and meet my middle son, Isaac, and he's a guy of not many words, unless he's on a rant, and then he has many words. So every week we say to him, Isaac, what have you been doing at work this week? And he goes, building a box, Mum. Next week, what have you been doing at work this week, Isaac? Building a box, Mum. Isaac, what have you been doing at work this week, Mum? Mum, Isaac, building a box. So eventually I say, Isaac, what is this box that you're building? Okay, I don't really understand your work, but what is this box? And he pulls out his phone and shows me a picture of this box. And it is a fair-sized box, about this big, but, you know, considering he's been working on it for 6 months, you would have thought it might be a little bit bigger. Oh, thank you, that's so kind. I'll save that for after. And this box is full of wires. So I said, well, where is this box going, Isaac? And he says, oh, it's, I won't tell you which one, but it's going to a power station. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, my child is going to blow up a power station. They've let him loose on a box full of wires, and it's going to be transported up the M6 to a power station, and it's going to blow up. And then I thought to myself this week when he's forwarded me an email from his work, and it had the signature strip, you know, that you have on the bottom of emails, and it said, Isaac Galloway, apprentice wiring technician. Ah. Now, had it just said wiring technician, well, we all would have been in trouble. Let's be honest. He's 20. He's been doing it for 2 years. He does not know how to power a power station. But it said apprentice, which means it's not his responsibility. It's his boss's. If it all goes wrong, if that power station blows up, it's not his responsibility and it's not mine. Thank goodness. It's his boss's because of that one little word, apprentice. And that's what Jesus calls us, his apprentices. Yeah, we're not doing it on our own. So if we go out there and say we're going to do something amazing for God and it all goes wrong, guess what? It's not our fault, it's God's. Isn't that fantastic? And that just gives us a bit of bravery, doesn't it, that we can do things for God. I am in you. We're in this together. And God recognizes you. More than that, he needs us. Remember that verse in Matthew 9:37 that we looked at last week? The workers are few. God needs us. So firstly, we are recognized by God. And what's more, we are needed by God. Secondly, others will recognize God in us. So these Bible verses encourage us that others will recognize God in us. That's quite amazing, isn't it? So verse 41 goes on to say that others will recognize, in some versions, the one we read earlier, welcome. They will welcome God by seeing us do his work. So that means that people don't need to come to church to meet Jesus. I mean, it's a good thing to do, and obviously you can meet Jesus here. They don't need to read a Bible, but actually they can see Jesus in us. They can meet Jesus through us in what we're doing in our daily lives. Isn't that amazing? A New Testament theologian puts it like this: God enters the house with Jesus' messengers. So that's us. So when we enter our workplace, when we enter our home, when we enter the food bank where we're volunteering, where we enter whatever we're doing, the shop, the co-op, wherever we are, God enters with us. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But these verses also tell us something else very interesting. They tell us that the person who accepts that message, the person who accepts God in us, actually is as good as the person who's giving the message. So let's just demonstrate this. Right, Jacob, you come here. Right, Peyton, do you want to help me with this one as well? Oh, she's fed up. You're fed up of me calling you up here. Let's put them down, because they might be useful, but not right now. Okay, so Jacob is at school today, and he has an unfortunate accident, and he falls over.
Fall over.
Quick, on the floor. Oh, no! Well, this isn't going to work. Do you want to fall over? Oh, Rebecca, come on. Okay, you two are playing nicely over here in the playground. Poor old Rebecca's in the playground. She trips over a spider because she's scared of them. She falls down on the floor. Oh, no. Now, these two are lovely, kind, caring people. So they go, ah, oh, no, look at our friend. Quick, let's go and help her. So along they come and they say, Rebecca, would you like our help? Can you say that? Rebecca, would you like our help? Now, Rebecca has two choices. She could either say, nah, you're all right, I'll get up by myself. Or she could say, yes, thank you. And Peyton, you could come and hold this hand. Jacob, you can come and hold this hand. And, well, it is a bit difficult because Rebecca's bigger than you, but we've got to just pretend that this is like someone your age, and we could help Rebecca up. Can you help us in that? Up we get. And we could be nice. We could say, oh, Rebecca, are you all right? Are you okay? See, Rebecca has chosen, you can go and sit down now, guys, thank you. Rebecca has chosen to accept their help. Well done, you can sit down. And we have the same choice, don't we? We can choose to accept somebody's help or not, but actually, in accepting somebody's help, what are we doing? We're actually inviting God into our situation. We're allowing people to be God, and we're inviting God into our situation. It's a challenge, isn't it, to accept offers of help and not elevate ourselves thinking, no, I'm the one who gives help. I'm the strong one. I'm the one who should be giving help. But at times, we all need to accept that help. So firstly, we're recognized by God. Secondly, others can recognize God through us. And thirdly, and I think this is the most challenging one, that we need to recognize, these verses challenge us to recognize that it's God who works through us. Now, if you're a nice, kind, caring person, a bit like Jacob and Peyton were there, and generally I'm assuming that most of us in this room are nice, kind people, and lots of us work in environments or volunteer in environments which are of the caring profession, it's very easy to do the right thing, to do the nice thing, isn't it? Because that's in our nature. But actually, what if we do that without inviting God in? And I can be guilty of this as well, because I work in a caring profession. But if I was to go about my daily work, my fostering, without inviting God in, then God's not a part of that. And imagine if I've got the power of God Almighty working through me in my daily work, what a difference that might make to my work and to the people that I'm serving. So how do we do that? How do we put God front and foremost in our lives? Maybe it's when we wake up in the morning. Maybe it's making sure that we're praying, reading the Bible, inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives to work through us. I'm just going to read you a text message that was received from a relatively newcomer to this church. They're not here today. So the text message read, "The church," so that's us, it's not the building, it's us. "The church has been my second home away from home and most welcoming." Isn't that lovely? That's God working through us as a church into somebody who felt they were new to this area and it wasn't their home. They felt welcomed. So verse 42 of Matthew, if you could just throw it up. And we're hopping, oh, this is in the message now. "Whoever gives even a cup of cold water." It says even because how easy is that? We've all got a tap. We've all got a cup. We can do that, can't we? "Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones," and it doesn't mean children here. Little ones are people who are in need, it's referring to, "in the name of a disciple." So if we do it with Jesus in us, truly, I tell you, none of theirs will lose their reward. This week we had just something very simple where Jay and I were able to give some cups of cold water. It was Monday, it was Jay's day off. We were pulling brambles out of the raspberry patch, I think, weren't we, Jay? So we were looking a mess. It was hot, it was sweaty. We were covered in brambles and everything else. And some pilgrims arrived at the door. And they had been walking in the heat, so you could imagine they needed refreshing. So there was a group of maybe about 10 of them, and they were walking from Stoke to Chester Cathedral in one day. Was it?
3 days.
Oh, in 3 days. Yes, fair enough. That's a long way, isn't it? So they were tired, especially in the heat, and they came into this place, and we gave them drinks of water and squash and even a few biscuits. And it was something so simple. Jay wasn't wearing his dog collar. He wasn't being a vicar. He was just doing what probably any of us would do. But what happened was special, and I was sad because I had to dash off to go and fetch the girls from school. But you could tell the presence of God was in this place because these people who had gone on a journey of seeking God, we were able to meet them with their need. The two things collided, and all of a sudden, you feel the presence of God in this place. Didn't you, Jay? It was lovely. It was nice, and we had a beautiful email from them thanking us and saying that they're praying for our church when they reached Chester Cathedral, which just shows God's work, doesn't it, coming a full circle. However, sometimes when we're going about our work, we forget to put our disciple hats on. We forget to remember that we are a disciple. We forget Colossians 3:17, if you could put it up, that says, "And whatever you do," whatever, because sometimes we think it's insignificant what we're doing. "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Do it all as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's about God, isn't it? It's not about us. So to conclude, we are recognized by God. Others can recognize God through us. And let's remember to recognize God in all we do. So my challenge to you this week is to put on your hat every morning. To put it on, however you choose to do that, whether it's through prayer, through reading, through listening to worship, or maybe even my husband's about to take a photo of me with a silly hat on. Or even putting a hat on if it helps you. So during this final song, just to help you, just to give you something to take away, as we sing the song, you're welcome to come up here Mim will be here to help you. There's three phrases written out there. I am a disciple. I can disciple others. I will be a disciple in all I do. Choose the one that's most relevant to where you are on your journey. Write it on the hat. Sellotape the hat together. I'm not going to ask you to wear it every day, but maybe leave it on your kitchen table or something, somewhere, to remind you this week that you are a disciple, you can disciple others, and to be a disciple in all that you do. Shall we stand as we sing together?